Blog Talk Radio.
What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
The birds and the bees are wise to the light.
What do you know?
So they took to the trees and took to the sky.
What do you know?
On top of the chain and safe from the rain.
What do you know?
What you know about the ways of the underside?
What do you know?
I bought a hot shot jet from an old Van Guinea.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the moon and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And yep, but the ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
What you know about the waves on the underside?
What do you know?
One hot shot cat from a North Bank Guinea.
What do you know?
Ain't it up with your ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Dropping bombs from above cut you all down to size.
What do you know?
Cause the hip to the ball and the hip to the rise.
What do you know?
Yeah, the street throws in two perfect ways in the night.
What do you know?
One crashes on my left and one on my right. It's all fire and brimstone, baby, so let's go outside.
What do you know?
It's all fire and brimstone, baby. I got my brand new pistol, baby.
What do you know?
One hot shot cat from a North Bay.
I really like that song, Darby.
Me too.
It's good. I'm going to agree on something. Hello. Hello and welcome to Logicast. Logicast is a weekly podcast. It airs every night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We discuss issues like politics, skepticism, religion, science, history, economics, philosophy. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Logicast. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Logicast. You can also listen to our previous episodes there. Lots of really good stuff. Tonight we'll be discussing the recent molestation allegations against Josh Duggar of the Duggar family. We'll also cover presidential candidate Mike Huckabee's support of Josh. What that can mean for his campaign and why some far-right Christians are choosing to support Josh Duggar and Mike Huckabee despite the layer of hypocrisy associated with such an act. And for our closing segments, This Week in Dumb, we will cover Kylie Jenner, Rick Santorum, and the Pope. So, hi Darb. I missed you last week.
Hi.
It was hard. It was very hard.
Well, I'm back.
I know. Yay. I'm glad you're back. It was sort of touch and go there for a few minutes. Like I kept pausing, expecting you to jump in, and then I was like, "Fuck, she's not here. Shit, what do I do?" So I just kept talking, you know. Not that it's hard for me to like. Well, I told my wife right after the show, I was like, "You know, I just talked for like an hour straight," and she just looked at me and goes, "That's not at all uncommon for you, so I don't know why you would be surprised." In yourself, when no one else is even would even who knows you would even be remotely surprised. So, you know, there's always that. There's always that. So anyway, so how are you? How are you doing? We haven't talked much here recently.
I have actually had kind of a crappy week, but I'm surviving.
That's good. That's good. Well, obviously you're surviving.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I think I am. It's it's nice having a 4-day work week. I guess this is how Germans feel all the time.
And the French. So,
and the French, you know, and the French. So, okay, so do you want to go? Like, I really want to get into this because this whole debacle has been, it is incredible. Like, it is. If there was a God, that God would have created this situation just so we would have had something to discuss tonight on the show.
Yeah.
So, okay. So starting off, and we'll kind of get into for those of you who are unaware of what cognitive dissonance actually is, it's the technical definition is the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. So,
and holding them at the same time when they conflict each other causes dissonance, like when you play, you know, notes that don't go together on a keyboard. Clang, or
right.
As I like to say, gong. The cognitive dissonance gong goes off.
Right. So a simple example, would be someone who claims to be pro-life yet supports the death penalty and supports war. Like, that's a form of cognitive dissonance.
Right.
A very simplistic form of cognitive dissonance. I mean, there are layers of sort of cognitive dissonance. So, all right. So I'm going to kind of run through the timeline because there's been a lot of information out there, a lot of things said. So, in March of 2002, Jim Bob Duggar told police that his son admitted that he fondled several victims while they were sleeping in the family's home, and that similar incidents happened 4 to 5 times. In May of 2002, go ahead.
Well, wait, what is police? We got to be clear on who the police are.
It was, well, this was just this came from the police report. So this came from, who was it? The Arkansas, you know, I guess the Arkansas State Police. So.
Okay. Because at one point he talked to a guy who didn't report it fully because he was a child pornographer and a good friend. But I don't know if that
correct.
Was this guy or a different guy.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that.
Okay.
This actually came, this timeline came from, there was a 33-page police report that revealed all of this. So then in May of 2002, Jim Bob Duggar, who's the father of the Duggar family, and for those of you who don't know who the Duggars are, because you've been sort of living in a cave or maybe you don't give a shit about reality TV, it's the 19 Kids and Counting crew. Very far right. Very, very hype. I mean, super religious. I remember the first time I was exposed to them, I saw this clip on Jimmy Fallon of, you know, this kid asking to date one of the, this young boy asking to date one of the Duggar girls. And, you know, so dad, mom, the girl, and the boy go into like this like closet or office, not closet, but like office, like this, you know, this little room on the side of the house. And, you know, the kid, the boy asks the parents' permission and they bring the girl in. And then, you know, he asks her and the dad is like, yeah, now you can give him a side hug. Like, so awkward, you know, I mean, it was such a
side
weird.
Hug. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and then he goes on to explain that the side hug is not where the genitals touch. So, you know, it's an innocent kind of hug. Very just weird, like weird shit. You know what I mean? Like just really weird stuff. So in May of 2002, Jim Bob lost a primary bid for the Republican Senate to Senator Tim Hutchison in Arkansas. And at this time, Duggar was actually running on a platform that rape and incest represent heinous crimes and, you know, as such should be treated as capital crimes. In July of 2002, Jim Bob says his son Josh came to him in July and reported that he touched one of the victims while they were sitting on the couch. Dad said that his son was punished after the incident. This is all according to the police report. Now, in March of 2003, 9 months after the first incidents, Jim Bob and his wife, Michelle, are told about two other incidents. And in one case, Josh molested a victim while she was sitting in his lap. You know, and then this other incident was when he put his hand beneath a victim's dress in the family laundry room. And Jim Bob met with the elders of his church to discuss, you know, sort of what they needed to do to prevent further abuse. And, you know, the elders apparently agreed that, you know, Josh needed treatment. Now, I have read this, that the treatment that they were suggesting was, you know, like evidence-based, you know, actual psychological counseling, like not that he needed to go to some sort of a you know, far right reparative therapy-esque, you know, treatment facility, and I air quotes
okay.
facility.
Right.
So then Jim Bob, you know, basically tells police that Josh went through a Christian counseling program from March 17th to July 17th, where he did manual labor and had counseling. And then shortly after, Josh returned from treatment. Josh and a church elder tell a police official about the incidents. And Jim Bob and then Josh admit the abuse to Joseph Truman Hutchins, a former Arkansas state trooper. And Jim Bob tells police that Hutchins gave Josh a very stern talk about you know, what might happen if he continued such behavior. You know, and Hutchins basically said, this cop said that there was nothing else to do. Of course, this cop is now serving 56 years in Arkansas, in an Arkansas prison for child pornography. So in September 2004, the Duggar family appeared on the Discovery Health special called 14 Kids and Pregnant Again. On December 7th, 2006, the Arkansas Child Abuse Hotline received an anonymous tip about sexual abuse occurring in a Duggar household. The family at the time was in Chicago for a scheduled interview with Oprah Winfrey and cannot speak to police until they return on December 11th. The Oprah Winfrey Show actually received an email on December 7th, 2006 from an unnamed female that reports abuse. Harpo Studios, which is Oprah Winfrey's studio production, from what I understand, her company, they faxed the letter to the Department of Human Services hotline, and then Oprah canceled the appearance. So, like, good on her, right?
Yes, I mean, yes, that's what she should have done, which is a rarity
agreed.
In this story.
Agreed. Then in early 2006, I think she should have done more, but we'll get to that in a moment. In early December of 2006, police interview Jim Bob and Michelle at Springdale Children's Safety Center in Arkansas. You know, and then police proceeded to interview several victims and Josh Duggar. On December 20th, 2006, police determined that the time in which they could press charges has expired. So the statute of limitations at this point has run out. So in 2007, the mainstream media is pretty much unaware of the sexual abuse allegations, and online message boards are aflurry with allegations about Josh Duggar, and that was reported by Gawker. Then in 2008, the first episode of 17 Kids and Counting premieres on TLC. Over 15 seasons, the family grew to 19 kids. On May 19th, 2015, this is granted 7 years later, In Touch publishes an article detailing claims that Josh Duggar sexually abused minors when he was a teenager. Same magazine, a few days later, published a police report detailing sexual abuse in the Duggar household. It obtained the police report through a Freedom of Information Act request. And then Josh appears to confirm the allegations in a Facebook post. And he says, 12 years ago, as a young teenager, I acted inexcusably, for which I am extremely sorry and deeply regret. I hurt others, including my family and close friends. He resigned from the Conservative Family Research Council, which apparently neither cared for the family nor did any research, where he was working as a lobbyist. And then now, May 22nd, TLC announced that they're pulling reruns of 19 Kids and Counting. The Arkansas police destroyed the 2006 police report. Springdale police spokeswoman Scott Lewis told the AP that Judge Stacey Zimmerman ordered the 2006 offense report destroyed. Walgreens, Payless, General Mills, Choice Hotels, and more than a dozen other advertisers pulled ads from the show and the TLC network. You know, Hutchins, the cop who, you know, is currently incarcerated for child pornography, told InTouch that Jim Bob apparently hid the extent of Duggar's alleged abuse, and he says he would have reported the incident if he had been aware that there was more than one sort of incident of abuse. So, so that's pretty much where we are now. Hulu has also pulled 19 Kids and Counting from its site, but they haven't said anything about, they haven't made like an official statement saying that that's what they've done. So
my first question, starting at the beginning again, is whoever they reported this to at first, years and years ago, it just says the police.
Right.
Apparently took no action.
That's what I'm understanding is that no action was taken at the very beginning. And
that, I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I don't either. I mean, there were, you know, sort of multiple red flags that, that kind of went up over the course of this, over the course of this whole fiasco. And everyone that, people that should have been involved and should have gotten involved, that should have acted on behalf of the girls who are being abused, did not. And I think that it is an absolute travesty with regard to our criminal justice system that, I mean, we're not talking about a long time ago here. You know, we're talking about 50 years ago. I mean, you know, we're literally talking about 13 years ago that, you know, that the police took this report and, you know, then did absolutely nothing about it. I mean...
And I looked up the statute of limitations, and it makes no sense that 4 years later they decided the statute of limitations was expired on those charges. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if they decided that. I don't understand. I don't understand any of that. And the police, if they're saying it was reported and then nothing at all happened, as far as I can tell, CPS wasn't even sent to the house.
Yeah, that's kind of what I picked up on as well.
I can't... That doesn't... I mean... Okay. I'm completely flummoxed by this whole situation because, you know, people are understandably infuriated at the Duggars, including me, but the cops are... complicit too if they did nothing, and it seems like that's exactly what they did. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hear any disagreement from me. It seems like that everybody down the, you know, in the process completely and totally dropped the ball on. Here's what angers me so much is that they cared so much about the perpetrator that they didn't care enough about the victims to...
Right, and they cared a lot about their own reputation. That was hugely important.
You know, I don't have children yet, so it's very difficult for me to, you know, and you do, and I know, you know, a lot of people who listen to this show do. I couldn't imagine my reputation or my desire for fame being more important than the protection of my own kids. Like, I couldn't imagine that.
Nope.
You know, even if I was protecting my children from one of my other children, you know, I couldn't imagine that would be more important than, you know, or that, you know, my fame would be more important than protecting my kids. I mean...
Than stopping them from being sexually abused, which is one of the most damaging things that can happen to you as a child, or getting them help which is the thing you need to do immediately if you discover something like this is happening to your daughters. But we can talk about how much they value their daughters compared to their sons.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, and by the way, I'm pulling up, trying to pull up what the statute of limitations is. Yeah, so the claims must actually, it seems like what it's saying here is that the claims must be, oh, never mind. No, that actually is correct. The claims must be filed within 3 years of when it occurred. So,
if it's a minor?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
That's what I'm reading.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense. Well, with adults doing this in the, you know, to priests, but particularly in the Catholic Church, it's many, many more years. And they have that random number, like you can't be over 41 or 37 or something like that. But so is that specific to Arkansas?
Yeah, it is specific to Arkansas. So the way that it reads is that sexual offenses against a minor, apparently the statute of limitations is before the victim turns, looks like 28 years old.
Okay.
The rape allegation, rape is 6 years and sexual assault is 3 years. So, you know, I mean, I don't know how to take that. I would assume that it would be before the victim turns 28. I don't know why that's there, by the way.
Then it can't be 3 years because no minor at 25, nobody's a minor at 25. So what does that mean? If the perpetrator is a minor, I mean, this is very confusing to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it says, you know, before the victim turns 28, sexual offenses against a minor, it doesn't clarify what a minor is. I would assume, not assume, I know for a fact in this case that these children were obviously minors. So, you know, I mean, it's just regardless, all along the process of this, you know, the people that were cared the least about were those who were actually assaulted, you know, were the children who were harmed by another member of their family and then were further violated by the parents who decided to cover this up.
Correct. And there's some vague references in their statement and in the police statement about counseling. But when you look up what they meant by counseling, manual labor doing putting up sheetrock is not actually counseling. And I haven't seen any assertion that he was given any sort of psychological evaluation or psychological treatment or, you know, evaluation at the end of treatment. No action plan was put in place for how to stop this from continuing. And we haven't heard a word about the little girls that were not in his family.
Yeah, whether or not they... I guarantee you they didn't receive counseling. I guarantee you it never happened.
The family didn't or nobody did? I mean, somebody...
No, the family most certainly didn't. And I'm pretty sure that Josh Duggar didn't either. I mean, from what I've read and what I understand, I was actually a little... You know, I mean, I pulled some of that timeline from... from a USA Today article. And, you know, I mean, the part where they say, you know, did manual labor and had counseling. He didn't fucking have counseling, okay? The fact of the matter is that the guy went to work on a family friend's renovations at his home, you know, in Little Rock. I mean, that was how they counseled him.
Yeah, that doesn't fit with the definition of counseling in any way.
Yes. Well, these are fundamentalist Christians we're talking to, so they may
right.
not get that. You know, I want to move on to Mike Huckabee.
Okay.
I fucking hate this man. Like, I don't hate many people, but I really don't. Takes a lot of energy. But Mike Huckabee is one of those human beings that you know, and I actually shared this before, and I know other people have called me an asshole for saying this, but it's just simply the way I feel. One of the biggest we'll say inconveniences that I have by being a non-believer is that I don't believe, you know, is that I don't actually think that hell exists. Okay. And the problem with that is that people like Mike Huckabee and Josh Duggar and Jerry Falwell, unfortunately don't get to go there. Mike Huckabee's support of this has been an extremely interesting, you know, sort of cognitive dissonance, I think, for him personally. And I've read his Facebook page when he did this post. And, you know, I mean, people are fucking pissed. Like, his followers are furious. You know, and I'm like, fuck, I found someone, you know, someone on that side of the fence where we actually agree on something. But then there are other people who are going, yeah, you know, I do support him, and he was 14, and he made this, you know, made this mistake, and I love the Duggar family, you know, and it's like, okay, so do you feel this way about all child predators? Do you feel this way about child murderers? Do you feel this way about children who are, you know, tried as adults for selling drugs?
And this is where the
best one that I brought up to someone, just interject real quick, the best one I brought up is do you feel this way about child immigrants?
Yeah. Well, and as I said to you, how would these people react if this had been Obama? And he said, you know, I'm right with Jesus, but this happened when I was a kid.
Oh, fuck. People
this
still give Obama shit for smoking pot when he was a kid. You
right,
know,
and
I
this
mean.
This is where the gong is continuing to go off, because the thing is, for the most part, child molesters are a thing that everybody can happily agree on. There is a lot of consonance in our culture about child molesters. They're bad. It's a bad thing to do. It is harmful. It hurts children a lot. It messes up their hardware. As a friend of mine who does therapy for a living says, you have to have special training to deal with hardware problems. I deal with software problems. And getting molested as a child often damages your hardware. And it certainly changes your life forever in many cases. And I cannot believe, I actually can't, I mean, I'm kind of a cynic at this point. And I still sat with my mouth open reading all these people who are saying, it's not so bad. He said he was sorry. One woman actually said to me, you shouldn't call him a molester. That is over the top. And I thought, will you look up the definition of molesting, sexual molestation? It's pretty much exactly what he did. It is amazing to me that so many people who would tell you, on one hand, that they find child predators and child molesters morally abhorrent and disgusting and evil. I bet many of these people would use the word evil. The gong goes, and it's somebody on their team. It's a precious and prized member of their team. And before you know it, they're standing up for the molester. And they're saying, how dare you? This is so many. Why are you dragging this out? All
yeah.
over the place, Jared. I really couldn't believe that. And it's hard
to be
incredulous.
Oh, no. I mean, I've seen it, too. You know, and this sort of, you know, flies in the face of, for one, and you know, with regard to Mike Huckabee, I think that, you know, any chance that he had of, he's got a fucking terrible PR firm working for him, by the way. you know, because I would have told him, I'd have been like, dude, you need to stay as fucking far away from this as you can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, seriously, like, you need to distance yourself from this because this is about to get really bad. And Mike Huckabee's endorsement of Josh Duggar just made it worse. Like, it made it worse for his campaign. It made it worse for the Duggars. It made it, I mean, like, it just made it worse.
Well, and he's sure he's locked down the Bubba vote. He's sure he has the Bubba vote. But once again, and we've seen
That's the thing.
He has underestimated the Bubbas. He doesn't know the Bubbas, actually.
Well, I mean, I laugh at that when people say that he's locked down the Bubbas. When the fuck have the Bubbas ever turned the tide in any election ever, any presidential election ever? Oh, that's right. They never have.
They didn't in 2000?
Nope. No, they didn't. They didn't. A lot of the people, well, for one, no, Scalia did. I don't know if you call him a Bubba. You know,
he's Bubba friendly.
But no, I mean, you know, without the support of, you know, basically the largest states in the union, you don't even need Texas if you have California and New York. So, you know, it hasn't been the Bubbas. It's been the, you know, it's pretty much always been the people who live in, you know, metropolitan areas in these counties that, you know, that carry the most amount of votes that have, you know, that have carried the electorate. So, you know, I mean, for one, his total approach is wrong. I mean, nobody from my neck of the woods, by the way, who actually votes for a Republican, if they think that their vote is going to sway the national election, they're morons. But having said that, the problem is, I think you're right, that Mike Huckabee, you know, didn't understand how many how many Bubbas and just how many people in general don't fucking like it when, you know, when toddlers and infants are fucking touched, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think people understand. Like, you know, Christopher Hitchens once famously, you know, famously said that, you know, that if I was ever, you know, inclined to touch a child, that if such a thought ever went through my head, I would kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is just that sick and that repulsive and that terrible. You know, and by the way, there's no scriptural support. You know, in terms of Christianity, to be against child molestation. Like, you can look in the Bible. It's not in there.
I mean, there's nothing. It's not in there.
Yeah,
it's still silent on that subject.
Yeah, there's nothing that even comes close. not even close. I mean, now, you brought up to me the other day that the Code of Hammurabi, for example, does address this. What exactly does it say?
It says if it's long, as you know.
Yes.
The part that I found, there was one standalone thing, and there were a few other ones that sort of glanced at it. But the one that's sort of important, and I brought this up because an extremely smug Christian who was absolutely supporting Josh Duggar was saying that the non-believers on the board that were discussing that had no reason to not like child molesters because we have no morality, of course. And all morality is cribbed from Christianity. And when I brought up to him, incest and child molestation is a near universal human taboo. And I say that because I've read books in my anthropology class and then also outside of my anthropology class, especially by Helen Fisher, who you should all read because she's great. She's an anthropologist, and she has gone and sort of studied how human pair bonding and relationships work all over the world, including the tongue Bushmen to people in, like, the middle of, you know, forests. And, like, she has a wide array of experience with this stuff, and she brings this up about how, with very few and specific exceptions that don't fit with their cultural definition of, that's a long story, but this is basically a human taboo that is ongoing and incredibly widespread. And if it came from Christianity, why would it predate Christianity and also be in places like, you know, the Bushmen who have not been exposed to Christianity and have nothing to do with it? why is it that it is forbidden everywhere? And of course, he just said, you're wrong. And then he didn't.
Just so weird.
That was
like,
his entire
so fucking weird. Like, dude, did you not read the Old Testament? Like, obviously they had moral laws. I mean, he doesn't, you know, whatever.
Well, he would just say, he would say that was the same God. And, you know, it's the Christian God that those came from. And of course, but the Code of Hammurabi predates that stuff. The point is, it said specifically, if someone is caught in incest with one of his children, I think it actually says daughter, but I'm not sure how the translation, how precise the translation is. The punishment is exile, permanent exile from the community. They're not fucking around. They will kick you out. You're not allowed to do that.
Which, by the way, back then, that was worse than death. That was, you know.
Yeah, well, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a good analogy is sort of like if you watch The Walking Dead, you know, if you're kind of part of the group and then the group exiles you into this world where you have no food, no protection, no numbers, you know, I mean, yeah, you're like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, because now you're out on your own. One of the weird things, because I've heard that claim before, by the way, that morality came after Christianity. And I always kind of ask people, if that's the case, then how is it that civilization ever got established enough where Christianity could perpetuate through? Because obviously, you know, there was enough morality around so that we could, like, you know, build cities and, you know, and have technology and, you know, study science and, you know,
and have family groups and communities with rules.
Yeah, like,
we
have
family groups and communities with rules. And all over the world, not in just a couple places.
So it's so funny. Like, Christianity teaches humility, and that is the least, one of the least humble things that you could say.
Yes, it really is.
You know, I mean, it just,
gong.
It makes me chuckle because, yeah, gong. Yeah, it makes me chuckle. I mean, well, that's the thing is that people, you know, and to quote Christopher Hitchens, what he said, that, you know, people always tell me that, you know, irrespective of all the terrible things or, you know, all of the things that are wrong with Christianity, at least it instills morality, but on every, you know, yeah, but on every front, you know, evidence proves that, you know, that this isn't the case. And
that's right.
You know, so I mean,
plus
it's
you have a divine command theory problem. It doesn't actually instill morality. It dictates rules.
Right, which is which is not the same thing.
Which is
are
not
you
the
smoking?
Same. No, I just took a deep breath.
Are you
in.
Fucking liar? Are you smoking?
No, I really am not. I'm in my car, dude. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, I don't know. It sounded like you were smoking.
No, not smoking.
I'm just worried about your lungs, Darby.
Yes.
I'm sitting
in my car.
All right, fine. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't remember what I was saying. I'm totally distracted now. There are people across the parking lot from me who I think are smoking pot right now.
Well, I mean, you know, you do live in Seattle, so
yeah,
probably not unheard of. Down here, they would be, you know, sort of surrounded by a SWAT team, and you know, if they're you know, and if they were black, they'd probably be tasered and accused of police brutality.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right, let's move on. I really did miss you last week, by the way. It was a rough week. Okay. Fuck, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm so disgusted with this whole thing. I really am. You know, and people have asked me, and I've been real hesitant to tell everyone. Not hesitant because I'm scared of what they'll say. Obviously, I don't give a shit. Josh Duggar needed counseling, and he needed help. He needed mental help. He didn't need to be incarcerated for a lifetime. He didn't need to be labeled a sex offender for a lifetime. he needed genuine therapy from a licensed practitioner of psychology. You know, he needed a program. He needed to understand and gain some recognition of why his actions were wrong, how they affected his victims, and what he can do moving forward to, number one, not repeat the behavior and to make amends. That's, in my opinion, what I think needed to happen. I'm not a fan, and you know that I'm not a fan of this idea that, you know, that a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, you know, should be tried, convicted, and treated as adults for crimes that they committed when they were children. And
no, I don't either. I don't believe that either. And I don't know what is – but the thing is, I don't know what the correct way to go about this is. For a sibling that is doing that in the house where he lives, I definitely think
the child protective.
To a licensed psychologist, they would tell you what to do about this. They would give you a plan of action. This is how you go about it. You figure out a solution based on evidence and best practices.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless, you had to take him out of, you know, you have to obviously have to separate the perpetrator from his or her victims. You know, that's number one. One of the things that I think is absolutely deplorable is that they kept the perpetrator next to the victims for the majority of their lives.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, And nobody really knows. Like, nobody's talked to the Duggar sisters, so they don't know how those girls feel. You know, and chances are they're being told by their parents, don't talk to the media, don't say anything, you know, don't report this, mm-hmm. don't tell them how you felt. You know, I mean, this is an accident, this is a mistake, you know, we're being persecuted because we're Christians, you know, I mean,
right.
Fuck, I've heard that fuck enough. You know, it's not like, yeah, you did something really shitty, and these people are saying that they're Christians. No, it's not because that happened. It's because we just hate Christianity, you know. Give me a fucking break. And the fact of the matter is that the worst thing that they could have done was kept the perpetrator of the crime in the same house, around the same children, unprotected, to where he could have abused them again. Without ensuring that he was capable of being around them and not harming them. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, and people say, well, he was just a 14-year-old kid. Like, that's not what fucking 14-year-old kids do.
No.
I mean, like, that's not what 14-year-old kids do. Like, 14-year-old kids are not, like, going out and, like, molesting their, you know, 2-year-old sisters.
No, and here's the thing. When people have come up with the idea that he was playing doctor and that it's normal. You know what? Playing doctor is normal. That is not playing doctor.
Yeah, when you're, like, 4 or 5.
It is not unusual to find 4, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds in a corner going, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. That is normal. It is curious. It's curiosity. And once they figure out that people look different than they do, especially if it's someone of the opposite, you know, assigned sex, they're like, what does your stuff look like? You know? And speaking as the mother of a little boy, they're pretty interested because they can see all of their stuff. And once they figure out that it's on there and it's pretty cool, they're like, cool, what's that? Can I do that? Yes, you can do that in your room. The thing is, of course they're curious at that age. A 14-year-old is not curious. That is not developmentally
appropriate.
They're not curious.
They're not curious about 4 or 5-year-olds. Like, they might be still curious about other 14 or 15-year-olds. I mean,
right.
You know, I think
but
that's
that is a completely, of course. But they're not curious about the anatomy. And they also know at that point, it is not appropriate for me to do this. there are very few 14-year-olds. And, of course, what people have occasionally brought up, and is a very good point, a lot of people at that age are molesting younger children because they have been molested themselves.
Correct.
I have no idea if that's true. If it is, no one's gotten him any help either.
I looked that up a long time ago. Maybe we'll do a show about that in the future. I really don't want to comment on that without having enough information to talk about it. I know that it happens, but I don't know what the frequency is.
Of repeating the abuse?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's pretty high, but I'd have to look it up again myself. So we can talk about that on a later show.
Yeah, that's definitely something we should cover. We should cover later. And I don't want to because there are a lot of people who are abused that would never abuse. That get sick.
Oh yes, you can't assume. No. You can't assume that someone is going to do that. But it's at all. But you can. You can say if someone is already doing that, especially if they're very young, it is likely that that has been done to them. So it's a thing after the fact that has pretty high numbers, but it is not a predictor. Like, you can't just say, oh, since this has happened to you, that you're going to end up doing this as when you're older or as an older child.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that. You know, the whole thing that really bothers me the most about this, it's I get told all the time, or at least I hear all the time about how horrible we are, non-believers. And I know, I had a really great conversation with my ex-roommate who, I've talked about on the show multiple times. He's a great friend of mine. He's very Christian, very, very strong believer. Great, wonderful guy. We agree on probably 90% of things when it comes to politics and, history and morality and that kind of thing. He and I agree on the vast majority of things. What upsets me the most is that when you claim to have moral superiority over the rest of humanity and you tell other people that they are not allowed to get married, to have families, to have children, to adopt children, all because your religious beliefs tell you that those things are, that doing so as, a same-sex couple is deplorable and, worthy of scorn and worthy of discrimination. While your family is covering up the molestation of your own daughters, that amounts of hypocrisy is so extreme that it pisses me off. I have friends of mine. Who live in Arkansas who cannot fucking get married because people like the Duggars, have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to prevent them from being able to have that right. Adequate and equal rights. That's right, because they are a danger to children. No,
right.
The Duggars have demonstrated that they're a danger to children.
Correct. And also, here's the thing, and I know we've brought this up before, but I cannot let this go by without mentioning it. It is legal now in every single state in the country for gay people to adopt children. Florida was the last holdout. It was legal in 49 states for years, even Utah, where I used to live. And now Florida has given up, and now it's legal. But do you hear people screaming and yelling about those laws? No. They don't really care about children. So it's legal. It has been legal for gay people to, as a couple, form a family with an adopted child for years and years. And yet there's been no Proposition 8 fight about that. You've hardly heard a peep about it. And yet they pretend this is about children. It's not. And, of course, even if it was, they have nothing to stand on. Every single study that's been done about gay parents shows that stable parents of any gender are good for children.
Actually,
I think there's one study that shows that the kids turned out better if their parents were gay, and I bet that was very upsetting for the religious right.
Actually, I've read a more recent, more specific study that showed that not only if both parents were gay, but also if both parents were women, that the kid had a higher likelihood of turning out better.
Yeah, that may have been the same study actually.
You know. I mean, I'm just saying.
But, yeah, lesbian couples actually crank out healthier children, you know, psychologically, academically, successful children. And I'm sure very upsetting for focus. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's very, I'm definitely sure it's very upsetting for the Family Research Council, you know, which, again, it neither seems to care nor... And he seems to not care about family, nor can conduct research. So I'm not really sure what it is they do. All right, I got to get to This Week in Dumb, and then we got to go.
Okay.
All right. I did one of these for you, by the way. I'm going to let you guess which one it was. Okay. No, get mad. All right, so This Week in Dumb, former Governor Rick Santorum announced his candidacy for president, joining a long list of other strongly conservative candidates like Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, and Ben Carson, or as I like to call them, people who have a better chance of getting appointed to oversee operations for Planned Parenthood than being elected president of the United States. During his announcements, Santorum actually boasted about being declared an enemy in the English language version of the Islamic State magazine, which is strange given the number of things that Santorum and the Islamic State agree on. Also this week in Dumb, conspiracy theorists all over Facebook and Twitter were happy to learn that Kylie Jenner is one of them, a young, gullible halfwit with too much time and not enough brain cells who still lives with her mother. Was that too subtle? I didn't think that was too subtle, Darp.
No, we're right on the nose.
All right, and finally, in This Week in Dumb, a senior Vatican official said that Ireland's recent passing of a law that legalizes gay marriage is a defeat for humanity. What? Really? Letting two people who love each other get married is a defeat for humanity? How does that work? You know what's a real defeat for humanity? The Pope. You know, when Barack Obama got elected president, I, like many other people, believed he would alter the status quo to such an extent that we'd see real demonstrable progressive change in this country. And while I'm a fan of some of the things the president has done, I'm also miffed at the things that he's managed to completely fuck up, like continuing our drone killings in Pakistan, even though we know for a fucking fact that they routinely kill civilians, warrantless wiretapping, metadata collection, not ending the stupid and costly war on drugs, or at least reducing it. And the Pope is very much like Barack Obama. He changed some of the things that made people hate the organization he represents, and when given an opportunity to change even more, he completely fucked it up. Francis once said of climate change, if current trends continue, the century will witness unprecedented climate change and destruction of the ecosystem with tragic consequences. And when it came to income inequality, he said the system continues unchanged, since what dominates are the dynamics of an economy and a finance that are lacking in ethics. It is no longer man who commands, but money. Like Obama, the Pope is someone I actually wanted to like. And I say wanted because there are still hundreds of pedophile priests being shuffled around parishes and countries to avoid prosecution. The Catholic Church hasn't changed its position on gay marriage, abortion, contraception, stem cell research, or suicide. And while I'm glad the leader of the world's most popular Christian sect has finally gotten on board with income inequality and climate change, what the fuck is he waiting for when it comes to the other stuff? A revelation? Here's one. If you want to attract people to your church, maybe you shouldn't judge them before they get there. You know, it's pretty bad when a popular Christian family and the world's most famous leader of Christianity can teach one another a thing or two on how to sweep the molestation of children under the rug. And what's even worse is that both have people who continue to support them. want to add anything to that, by the way?
I actually don't know which one of those was for me. I did find out this week, it's horrifying, that one of my teachers at Catholic school, Brother Jim, who then became Father Jim, was molesting a little boy.
Jesus.
And he killed himself when those allegations came out, they think, with an overdose of insulin. But, the church does nothing. They said nothing until after he was dead. And so it's continues to be horrifying. And I have to say before we're done that, as most of you don't know this, I don't talk too much about it, but I've spent years of my life in Ireland living and working, and it's a country that I love very much and think of as my second home. I have family there. And I have never been prouder that they are the first country in the world to legalize marriage equality by popular vote. So there, everyone who says religious people are all stupid. Anyway.
Go Ireland. Go Ireland, by the way.
Woo.
Thank God for Ireland. All right. All right, you've been listening to LogicCast. We are a weekly podcast. We are every... Wow, I actually said LogicCast, the weekly podcast that airs every... I forgot the Thursday in the description. God damn it. Okay. Fuck, that's going to annoy me for the rest of the night. Okay. We are every Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/LogicCast. You can also check us out at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/LogicCast. To listen to previous episodes, including this one. All episodes are usually available about an hour after they air. I'm Jared Smith. This is my co-host, Darby Macy. And, good night. Talk to you later, Darb.
You know
the ways of the underside.
What do you know?
Bought a hot shot cat from an old Van Guinea.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the moon and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And a yap with the ass cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Don't you know about the ways on the underside?